Chevron, always a schuss to be together. Prepare for Shabbos Kodesh, the Erev Shabbos Kodesh. Before anything else, I want to just... tonight, the shir, all the chizik, all the siris, all the Torah, all the mitzvahs, it's all being sponsored, first of all, for Fushaleima, Mishpacha, people that I'm super close to, closer than family even. Some of the closest people in my life. So their child is having a procedure done, a surgery done tomorrow morning, early tomorrow morning. So in the schuss of all the Torah and the Chizuk, they want to sponsor that everything should go well. And you should have in mind just to daven a little bit tonight, tomorrow morning, for Yisachar Doiv ben Ilan Aleya. The Shavar Fuos and Yeshua's Bez Hashem is going to go well, and a very quick recovery, Mir Tashem.
Amen.
And as well, very special, so I was reached out to by someone on behalf, and I was somebody who wanted to sponsor specifically tonight. I said, really, we already have one sponsor. You sure it has to, is there an important reason for tonight? He says, no, he wants to do tonight because he knew that my birthday with this Shabbos, my Hebrew birthday is this Shabbos, Yuzayin Cheshvan. And it's super special that he remembered. So it's sponsored as well. And this tzaddik is very special to this shir. And the chevra here, maybe, I don't know if anyone in this room knows him or even met him, even though, how could it be very special to our shir? Because here's a tzaddik in Eretz Yisrael, who's part of the chevra, and part of the learning, and listens to the shir, and learns together with us from Eretz Yisrael, which is always very special. Those tzaddikim, I always get such chizik when I get texts and emails from tzaddikim in Eretz Yisrael that are learning together with us. And it's always very, very special. Happens to be we have on the phone. Mm-hmm. Is he there? Moshe's there.
He's there.
On the phone. Moshe Hillel Golubchik is on the phone learning with us from Eretz Yisrael. So we're mamish learning with the Yidden Eretz Yisrael. But a lot of the Yidden that learn, that listen to the recording from Eretz Yisrael. So one of them is Mark Merrill. He's a very special tzaddik, very special person. Someone that my whole kesher with him is only through Torah. I didn't know him before. He started learning, listening to Sherm, was in touch, and we're in touch all the time, and back and forth, Torah and ideas. What? I've never met him face to face yet.
Wow.
I've never met him face to face. MS, he was in America during the summer a little, and I was in camp, and then whatever it is, each time, I've never, but he's. I feel so close to him. And Baruch Hashem, you should know, there's a bunch of Yidden like this throughout the world, but specifically Eretz Yisrael, that I have this kesher with completely through Torah, completely through the shiurim, completely through this shiur and the other shiurim. And so Mark and his wife Sarah, they wanted to sponsor tonight for my birthday, so I appreciate it. It's something so special. How do you remember? He remembered because it's his birthday the next day, Yud Ches. So he should also have a year of, this should be a schus. I appreciate it for myself, but for him as well, it should be a year of simcha, year of bracha for him and his entire family.
Amen.
It's a schuss to learn Torah always. It's a schuss. This is so, you have to realize every single Thursday night I look forward to this. Baruch Hashem, in my avodah, I have the schuss to share Torah all week long. And it's something very special. It's the biggest schuss in the world. But this year specifically, and the reason why this year specifically, is because of the Mesiras Nefesh for this year. To come and start learning together close to Chatzos HaLaila and Erev Shabbos Kodesh, and especially those of us that are whether in college or working or different. And it's something where it's not so simple. But it's so important because that Mesiras Nefesh, those of us that are going to be connected to Limud HaTorah and to Torah our whole lives, it's only going to be through Mesiras Nefesh. The responsibility will only get greater as life goes on. Towards our wives, towards our children, towards Parnasa, whatever it might be. And if you're going to be someone that's Oyim Le Torah and connects to Torah, it has to be with Mesiras Nefesh. It's not going to be conducive the way it is now. It's not going to be set up as part of the day unless you mamish or moiser nefesh for it and make sure you're kaveitim l'Torah. So this is very special. And to try to also continue what so many of you started in Eretz Yisrael, where, let's be real, Thursday night in Eretz Yisrael, you were popping at this time. You know, the Beis Medrash was popping. It wasn't even like a shot. It was early. It was very early still. 12 o'clock on a Thursday night was very early still. The shaila was if you're going to stay up all night or and daven 8 and then go to sleep, or just stay up till like 3 and then go to sleep and daven a little later, whatever it was. That was the shaila. It wasn't like 12 o'clock wasn't even within the like range of realm of possibility of even thinking about sleep yet. Vado's in the base medrash. So it's important to continue that feeling. I feel strongly. That's why over the years, guys have always asked me, let's make sure earlier. And when it's been as manim, and certain times I do make it somewhat earlier. And I understand usually the crowds are much bigger then, you know, and we got to get a lot more chairs at those times. First of all, I give senior chizik, and that's important as well. And timing-wise, it would be very hard to go much earlier. But additionally, there's something very special I feel about this and being moiser nefesh for Torah. And we grow tremendously from that. And I'm thinking about that a lot tonight, because this past week was the yahrzeit of my Rebbe Mori of Nasan Finkel, Zecher Tzadik Kodesh Bracha. And we spoke about him somewhat last week. But I had a new understanding of what, you know, we spoke Thursday night and, you know, and we gave a story and about Nasan Tzvi a little bit. But then when it came to his yahrzeit, I was very, very emotional that day, on Matzah Shabbos Sunday. Especially when I was watching some of, I didn't even watch the entire, but I watched, they had a over three hour Yom HaZikaron 10 year anniversary by the Mir with a lot of the Mir Rosh Hashivas and his family members and a lot of the people that were close to him speaking, and it was done very beautifully. And I just like, mamish cried through the whole thing. I was just crying because it was Sunday night late from like, I didn't do all three, I did about from like 12 to like 2 I was watching this. Just crying. And I came to a new realization of, hey, there's so many different aspects we could talk about Nasan Tzvi Finkel and the Rishiv of his godless and what was so special about him. His Avos Yisrael, his giving of himself, his sacrifice for Torah. But I realized, you know, one thing that like that was so incredible that I feel so bad that people that didn't have the relationship with him or don't have you, that don't have the opportunity to go to him now and see him. Because let me tell you what. His love for Torah, his love for Torah was so incredible, was so real, was so sincere, that it was contagious. And, you know, there are a lot of things in the life we could enjoy. But if you saw and experienced and just were around Nasan Tzvi Finkel, and you saw what Torah was to him, learning Torah, giving over Torah, his simchas achayim when someone else was learning Torah, the mesikas of Torah, how sweet to him Torah was. You couldn't not want to run after it and do it just many more hours of the day. You couldn't not. Because it would be so real. It's like, of course, you can't not believe that that's the best thing in the world. It was so real, so sincere. There could be nothing more special. Everything else is pleasures and fleeting, and it was so real. Rav Shmuley Wolman, one of the Magidei Shirim in the Mir, who was very close with the Rashi, he said over, when he just was a bacher, when he just came to the mirror, so he started, anyone wanted a chavrushaft would be able to learn with the Rashi, and he asked him, and they used to learn Bein Azmanim together. I've told you some stories from their Bein Azmanim learning before, I'm not going to go through all of them. He said the first year is in the mirror, and it's Erev Sukkos, and they're going to learn together in Erev Sukkos. Erev Sukkos might be the busiest day of the year for a yid. Between finishing your sukkah and dalad minim and preparing for yontiv and mikveh and everything, right? Mamish, it might be, oh, it's up there. It's up there with the busiest days of the year. Okay. It's up there. So if nothing, so he says, can we learn Erev Sukkos? So Rav Shmuley is thinking to himself, of course, but Rashiv is probably going to be busy with so much preparation. So he says, Rashiv says, when can we learn? He says, whenever is good for you, I'll make sure. You know, he's a bacher, he can make whenever is good for the Rashiv. The Rashiv says, okay, we'll learn after Shachris. So Shmuley said, okay, good, beautiful. He thought they'll learn an hour, 2 hours, right? Whatever it is, just to start the day. That way, you know, he sat and learned, and then you'll do all the chant. And then before he leaves the room, the Rashiv looks at him and says, and by the way, come in your yontif clothing. Come in your yontif lavush. Shmuley didn't like fully even grasp. He thought maybe Erev Sukkos. It's Erev Sukkos. Like also it's prepare for Yontif in such a way. He said he showed up. They learned for 8 hours straight until the horn blew for candlelicht and it was time to go to Mincha. Straight on Erev Sukkos. but with such simcha. So what is chus is to learn together? This is the best stuff in the world. That's why we're here. That's why you're here now at 12 o'clock at night almost. That's why you're here, because we have the best stuff in the world. We have something that's nachamad mizaz and pazar of masuku and dvash. There's nothing else. Where else would you want to be? So again, we know. I tell everybody all the way. There's only two excuses not to be here. You're learning somewhere else. No monopoly in Torah. Everyone has to know what's best for their learning. And if you're learning somewhere else, and you, or you're dating, because okay, you do have to get married, and that's very important. And Yerushalmi says your Torah is even more special then. So if you're out on a date, or you're learning somewhere else. Otherwise, where else should you be? When we have the best stuff in the world. I mean, you could be other places. You're missing out. You're missing out. That's why I feel bad. I feel bad because this is Anachamadim Mizalim Puzarav Mizugvej. And if you don't understand, that's because you didn't meet the Rosh Hashiva for 1 minute. If you met the Rosh Hashiva for 1 minute, you don't understand that. Okay, let's learn. Let's learn. So, you know, Chevra, if we mentioned already that Mark Merrill, he sponsored for my birthday, so it's no chiddush that my bar mitzvah sedra is this Shabbos. Parshas Vayera, so it's very special to me. So everyone's, you know, your bar mitzvah parsha is always very special to you. But this parsha, I think, even if it wouldn't be my bar mitzvah sedra, would be very special to me, because there's Akedas Yitzchak. And in my life, there's no part of Torah that I've been more inspired by than Akedas Yitzchak. And the soma, even this, just a simple storyline, you read it, you can't not cry through it. And learn from the incredible sacrifice of Avram Avinu, who's willing to kill his son for the Ribbono Shalom. And we even think about not doing Ratzon Hashem every moment. It's the biggest chizik in the world. But there's always more to learn from this, and more to be inspired. You know, we have to understand, what is the point of the Nisayon? Why would Hashem bring such a Nisayon on Avram Avinu? Or the ten Nisayonos? So famously, I'm sure Chevra has learned, have seen the Ramban or heard the Ramban, and it's really a medrash that a Nisayon, according to many, and according to Ramban, is to take Mikoyach El Apoyal. That we have much within us, kochos within us, abilities within us, that are dormant, that are just sitting there, that we need to bring out and actualize in our lives, so we become the people we can be, the people we can become. And that's what the Medrash says in Nun Hey Aleph, the beginning of Akedat Yitzchak, V'yach Aretz Mimrei Elav El Kim Nisoas Avram. It quotes a pasuk from Tilim Samach Vav, Perek Samach Pasuk Vav, Nasata Lire'echa, you give to those who fear you, to your tzaddikim, Nes, a nisayon, a test. Lehisnoses. What does lehisnoses mean? So according to the Medrash, she explains, lehisnoses is like milashon nes, as a flag, to lift us up, to help us grow. And that's what it says. Nisayon acher nisayon, test after test, v'gidulin acher gidulin, growth after growth, b'shvil inasosam ba'olam, b'shvil gadlan ba'olam. The reason, the Medrash says, b'feirish Medrash, the reason we're tested is in order to grow. That if we weren't tested, we stay status quo. We need to go through the difficulties of life, the challenges of life, in order to grow in our Avodas Hashem, in our Bein Olam Chavero. They're there to help us grow. With that in mind, we could understand a Mishnah in Avos, but on a new level. The Mishnah in Avos says in the fifth parak, it's either Gimel or Dal, depending on your paragraph that you have. Asara nisyonos nisnasa Avram Avinu ba'amad b'chula. Avram Avinu was tested with 10 tests, and he stood up and he passed all 10 tests. Lahodia kama chibaso shel Avram Avinu, to make known how much love Avram Avinu had. Pashup shad is the way I just translated it. Most explain, many mefarshim, Tosfos Yontav and others, that this was to make known how much love Avram had for Hashem. Meaning what? Every time he passed the test, it showed how much he loves Hashem. That I'm willing to do this for you. I'm willing to sacrifice for you. I'm willing to jump in a fire for you. I'm willing to leave my homeland for you. I'm willing to even shecht my son for you, Hashem. And that shows tremendous ava, tremendous chiba. When you're willing to sacrifice someone, that's when you know you really love them. B'shat tova each and every one of you, when you're zoicha to be married, you're willing to do anything for your wife. And sacrifice, and even sacrifice, you've been alamakum at times. And the Torah teaches us that. Hashem says, for shalom bayis, erase my name by the sota. Erase my name. Right? Hashem teaches us that. The times because of shalom bayis, you're going to have to say, I can't get to minyan because I have to be there for my wife and help my wife and be with my wife, whatever it might be. Obviously, each case is different. You have to learn that balance, and that's takes years, trust me. Takes years. I'm still learning. But you have to learn to sacrifice for someone else. When you love someone, you sacrifice for them. And those sacrifices show the love. Those sacrifices show the love. When you're doing what you don't want to do. When you come home and the sink is filled with dishes and you hate doing the dishes. And it like just is not your thing. And you do the dishes. Because, and even though you'd rather sit and learn, or you'd rather, what happened? Oh, I thought maybe, I don't know.
No.
You'd rather sit and learn, thank you, I didn't even say. You'd rather sit and learn, you'd rather do so many, but you do it because it's going to make your wife happy, and that shows your love. So that's Pasha Pshad, I think. That's how most would explain this Mishnah. Through doing the Nisyonos, Hashem showed Avram showed his love for Hashem. Comes the Hilgus Vasemes. Vasemes says, you know what it means that through the Nisyonos, Lodia Kamechi Basan Shal Avravino? It's not how much love Avravino has for Hashem. It's through the 10 tests we see how much love Hashem has for Avram. Really? He's giving him test after test. He's telling him to kill his son. He's telling him to leave his parents. He's telling him to. Because he loves him? So Samus is explaining, yes. Because if we understand the whole purpose in a test is to help him grow, we take his medrash into account, the Ramban into the account, that it's Mikoyach al-Po'el. Hashem is willing to give these tests to Avram because he loves him. And he wants him to be the best he could be. He wants him to grow and be the best person he could be. L'mashal. Each and every one of you is going to have beautiful children. Mm-hmm. Your child's going to be, get chesnes, you'll have a son, you have a daughter, whatever it is, and they'll be, I don't know, 4 or 5 years old. And it's a good time to teach them how to ride a bike. It's an enjoyable, nice exercise, activity for kids. It's great. And what happens when you teach a kid how to ride a bike? So you're holding on to the bike. At first you're holding the bike and you're by their side and you tell them to go and go. But then you let go. And what happens when you let go? They fall. And they scratch themselves and they hurt themselves. And they're upset about it. And they look at it, it's like a big nisayo, and I can't do this. Tati Abba, I can't do this. No, why are you leaving me go? Why are you putting them through that nisayo? Why are you putting them through that challenge? Why are you putting them through that situation where they potentially could get hurt and they have to push themselves and eventually... Because you know, which they don't fully grasp in the moment, you know you're helping them grow. You know you're helping them become better at something that they're going to enjoy and they're going to grow from. But it's through that challenge, through that nisayon, that they're growing. So you do it out of love. You put them, you give them that nisayon out of love. Because you love them and you want them to grow. If you don't allow them to do that, then that's not love. You're not allowing them to grow. You're not allowing them to become more, to become bigger. So Sfasemes says, this Mishnah is telling us, L'diya kamechi baso sh'avraminu, it's not how much love Hashem, that Avram has for Hashem. We know from these tests how much kamechi baso sh'avraminu, how much love Hashem has for Avram Avinu. How beautiful. Never saw this Sfasemes tell us here. You hear this? So you know what that tells you and I? Everyone in this room, every single one of us, has nisyonos, has challenges. Challenges sometimes in relationships. Challenges sometimes in our Ben Olam Makom, in our davening. Challenges in Shemir Sinayim. Sometimes Hashem brings big challenges to the world and to our families. Sometimes we have big nisyonos, big tests, difficult tests. Tesla, we don't understand why I have them when Yenim, when my friend doesn't have them. And I have this situation, my family, it looks like his family's so beautiful, and I have this situation, whatever, everyone with their own situations. We have tests, we have challenges, we do, we all do. We don't know why they're happening. People have big challenges, trust me. Every single day of my life, I deal with people that have very, very big challenges. Have very, very big challenges, and it's hard. But if we keep this in mind, you know where these nisyonos come from? You know why they, again, it's not fully, I don't know why exactly it happens. It's a much bigger picture that Hashem knows why that exactly challenge. But ultimately, if I have a challenge in my life, it means Hashem loves me. And it means I can grow through this. Again, it's not that we ask it, we're not calling it upon ourselves and looking for it to happen. But ultimately, once it comes my way, don't ever forget, Hashem loves me. And Hashem knows I can grow from this, and that's why He's giving this to me, to grow from it. We have to believe that. I got a text today from an individual. Let's see if I could find this without turning off the recording over here. Here it is. Individual texted me. Hi, Rav. I hope all's well. I was wondering if you would be able to give me some chizik, because I've been struggling for a while now with various different things. I feel that I'm doing my hishtadlus and davening to Hashem, but nothing is coming from it. I know there's a bigger plan that I can't see, and that everything I go through is just to bring me one step closer. I'm trying to power through the slump, but I'm not sure how much longer I could take it until I break down. It's hard to get, it's hard to read, it's hard to hear. And I gave some chizik, and we're going to talk to this individual. But imagine if you're going through all that, and you know what, Hashem loves me, and this comes from a place of love, and all, whatever I'm going through, I can grow from, and I'm going to become bigger from. Bring it on. Again, I don't mean bring it on in the sense of we want the nisyonos. Certain nisyonos, none of us should ever be, and you should all have the biggest simcha in your life and just be able to grow even without the nisyonos. Mm-hmm. But once they come my way, it's kama chivaso Kadosh Baruch Hu has for me, how much love Hashem has for me, and He's given me this because He handpicked me to grow from it. Why, I don't know, but it means I can handle it, and I can grow from this, and I could become big from this, and I could change the world from this. That no one else could, only I could. And Hashem gave this to me to grow. And He loves me. Maybe that's getting back to Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel for a moment. Rebbe Mori. Maybe that's why it was. Everybody talks about it. With Parkinson's disease, which is crippling and painful and difficult. He's the happiest person you ever met in your life. I never saw him not happy. His family said he never complained once. Never. Never. There'd be times he'd be learning with people and fall on the floor. I remember being by him many times and lying down on his couch. He couldn't get up. We spoke while he lied down. But he had a smile on his face and he wanted me to lean down so he could give me a kiss. There are times I'd go to him. I've told the show this, right? I don't know if we spoke about it. There are times I'd go to him Erev Shabbos Kodesh, before the Shmooze, and he couldn't get a word out. Not a word out. And he'd come to the Shmooze and be smiling, besimcha, giving Torah, talking of his Rebbe, Reb Chaim Shalevitz. The simcha, why? How could he? How is it possible? Okay, we spoke already earlier, his love for Torah, but how's he always besimcha when you're suffering from such a crippling disease, that you look around and why me? You could say, why me? If I have so much to give, and I'm Rashiv the Mir, why me that I have to be where my body's flying in every direction, and where there are times when I can't look in a safer because I can't hold it, and why me? No. Why me? Because Hashem loves me. And Hashem knew I could grow from this, and I could give from this. And it wasn't despite the illness, it was because maybe that he became Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel, in a sense, because he, bring it on. Abishter, you love me, you give me this, I'm going to grow from it, I'm going to persevere, I'm going to teach the world what's emes with this. That's the only way you could be so besimcha, if you know, no, this comes from Hashem's love for me, it's of course a besimcha, this is what Hashem wants for me. And that's for each and every one of us. Again, it's not that chas v'shalom, we don't dive in, okay, so Hashem, bring me this, no, chas v'shalom, once it comes your way, you say, okay, Hashem loves me, and I'm going to grow from this. What chizik? Akedas Yitzchak! But what about, I mean, but let's be real. That's Nisyonos in general, and the nine tests in Dil. But like, Akedas Yitzchak. Like, God, you could go all the tests in the world, but ask me to kill my son? 37 years old. What was that all about? There had to be so much more there. This idea is to learn just from this Yonas in general, which is incredible. So I saw a Torah this week that I was mamish so excited to share with the Chevra. It was a sefer that I found on the shelf in the shtibul this past Shabbos. Emunas Avram. Emunas Avram is a sefer by Rav Avram Abba Leifer, the Pittsburgh Rebbe, Zecher Tzedek HaShivracha, not the Pittsburgh Rebbe who passed away a year ago, his father, who happened to be my Rebbetzin's father. Right? My Rebbetzin, the Rebbe's wife, David Spiegel, Asher Kashuna Rebbe, the Rebbe by the Shtibel, his wife was the Pittsburgh Rebbe's sister. So their father is the Amunas Avram, Rav Avram Abba Leifer. And he explains as follows, and I'm gonna add on my own Yisoidus on this, but you know, the Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Sarifko, Rachel, Leah, Dimos, these Parshios, it's the building blocks of Bnei Yisrael. It's the makeup of Bnei Yisrael. Hashem was infusing kochos for all generations, the Dori Dori, famous Ramban, Maisa, Avos, Simul, and Bonim. But the meant is like, whatever was going on then is going to continuously go on because it's within us. It's part of our biological makeup. Therefore, Amunah is part of us. And the ability to sacrifice is part of us. And Tefillah is part of us. And Chesed is part of us. Everything that we read about in these parashios, it's within each and every one of us. Because we're Bnei Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It's beautiful. That's our chemical makeup. That's our biological makeup. This is who we come from. This is who we come from. We have to believe that and know that. So the Munas Avram Rav explains, there's two types of Mesiris Nefesh in life. The most famous Mesiris Nefesh, classic, is being willing to give up your life for God. The Holocaust was full of Mesiris Nefesh. Rabbi Akiva, the Surya Gamalchas. There's only one level of Mesiris Nefesh. There's actually a higher level of Mesiris Nefesh. And the higher level of Mesiris Nefesh is to live with Mesiris Nefesh. Not to die out to Kiddush Hashem, but to live out to Kiddush Hashem. To be willing to sacrifice while you're living in this world. To be willing to sacrifice daily. To be willing to say, even though I want to do X, Y, and Z, I'm not going to do it for the Eibishter. But to sacrifice. To be willing to get out of bed early in the morning and learn an hour before davening when you went to sleep late and it's the hardest thing in the world. It's Mesiris Nefesh. To not look at things that the whole world's looking at, and when it's in your pocket 24/7, it's Mesiris Nefesh. To not be pulled into what's important in culture and society, it's Mesiris Nefesh. To live out Mesiris Nefesh. Not just to die out Mesiris Nefesh. To live in the world that we live in with all the distractions and all that's pulling us and still be a Ben Torah, but Emes, stick a Ben Torah in every way, Mesiris Nefesh. And that's a higher, he explained, it's higher than Dainal. Why? Because Dainal's Kiddush Hashem, it's one time. You give up your life, it's over, finished. This is constant, this is daily. This is a daily avoida, a daily war with the Yetzirah. To be moisir nefesh, to sacrifice for Hashem daily. And he says every morning when we put on a tefillin, that's what we're supposed to be reminded. We have a tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh. And our tefillin shayad is our hand. It's our action. It's a one. That's the Mesiris Nefesh of physically giving up your life for Hashem. It's a one-time action. Mesiris Nefesh of Arosh. Arosh is our machshava. It's constantly in our mind being able to battle the Yetzirah. Constantly in our mind giving ourselves over to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's what we think about by the Shel Rosh. That's why the Shel Yad is first and the Shel Rosh is second. Malin v'kodesh ve'im meridin. And this is what we should have in mind when we put on those parashios, those tefillin that have in it Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu Shem Echad, Va'ahavta Shem Elokeinu Chol Levavcha V'chol Nafshecha V'chol Medecha, which is Mesiris Nefesh. I love you. I'm one with you. I'm not just willing to die for you. I'm willing to live for you. I'm not just willing to die for you. I'm willing to live for you, Ribbono Shel Olam. Kadosh Baruch Hu brought me a big matana. And I was thinking about this yesod. If you take the gematria of Ma Mesiras Nefesh, what is Mesiras Nefesh with the koilel? It's 1,186. Ma Mesiras Nefesh, 1,186. This is a big number. So it's one. We'll see Yad Hashemayah. You can't come up with this. It's just matanos. Ma Mesiras Nefesh with the koilel 1,186. Exactly gematria Chayim, a life of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Chayim Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is ma. What is Mesiras Nefesh? It's not Shema Yisrael. What did 6 million Jews say before they gave up their life for Hashem? Before the first love of Mesiras Nefesh, they said Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. But ma Mesiras Nefesh, what is the ultimate Mesiras Nefesh? It's Chayim Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. It's to live with that. Can't make this up. Kodesh Torah Hashem to me. And that's what we should think about every time we put on tefillin. Maybe that's why tefillin is such a struggle for so many teenagers when they're coming to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's be real, right? It's so interesting. Mamish, tefillin, which people give up their life for tefillin. Mamish, by teenagers, it's like one of those things that's like so hard to get a guy to put on tefillin. Really? Like, what's so hard? Just put them on. Like, really? It's like a whole 2 minutes. And it kills. Parents go and they spend thousands of dollars to buy the most precious tefillin and they sit in a bag and, mamish, you got to dust them off. Because it represents actually something very, very big. And maybe some people are not ready for that. To be Meiser Nefesh. Some people are more ready to die for Hashem than to live for Hashem. That's what it was, tefillin. You want to hear? I read from this a few weeks ago from my Heilige Chaver, my Rebbe, Label Zisman, Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Baracha. Label Zisman lived a few blocks away, Chevra. Here's a Yid that lived a few blocks away. Okay, it's a little more, a 10-minute walk away. He lived on Maple, right? A few doors down from the Chabad. In our community. Until just a few years ago. A successful Yid in every way of his life. A lot of Chevra knows different grandchildren of his. Ellie Portel. Many. I'm not going to start naming, you know. Here's a Yid that went through, I mean, the whole thing, you guys have to get this book and read it. It's like, mamish, incredible. See the nisim of how he lived through the Holocaust, nace after nace after nace, with the Muna like we've never known in our life. He was, if you met Rav Nosson Zvi for a minute, you'd love Torah. If you met Label Zisman for a minute, you'd have the biggest Muna in the world. These are the people that we don't have anymore. Some of the special people in my life. People that changed my life. People that were so special. So let me just read a little bit from his book. See, Label Zisman, the stories, he brought with him tefillin to Auschwitz. And he had tefillin that he put on every single day in Auschwitz. It was one of the few pair. Tefillin in Auschwitz. This whole story earlier, when he got to Auschwitz, remember I read you the whole story a few weeks ago, some of the Chevra will remember, I don't remember what week it was, about how when they got there, and he convinced them all to be by singing an imamim as they were walking to the gas chamber, and then they let them go. And they sent them to the showers, right? Remember that? So when they sent them to the showers, they also made them strip and throw everything in piles. Part of what they sent in piles, he had his tefillin in his boots. His father got him these special, very comfortable, warm boots, but they were very big. That's where he was able to hide his tefillin. But he had to take them off and throw them in a pile, and there was nothing he could do. He had to go into the showers. The Nazis made them empty everything. They were his tefillin. So he made all, he immediately was like the ringleader of all these kids that were together, that he saved their lives already. He made them all like start fighting with each other to distract the Nazis. He quickly ran and pulled his tefillin out of the thing, and he had his tefillin. He had his tefillin. Like crazy. You think he could have been killed on the spot for doing what he did, but that's what he did so he could have tefillin. Listen to this. I'm reading you. Listen to this. I'm going to read you from this book, but it's really taken out from Encyclopedia Shema Yisrael. If I'm not mistaken, Encyclopedia Shema Yisrael was the work, I have it here, I have to look, I think that's what he's referring to, is the work about the Holocaust that was put together by the Kalav Rebbe Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Baruch Hu. And Kalav Rebbe gave me a copy. It's all another story for another time. But anyways. in Tzigoner Lager. All of us Kovna boys were put together in a barrack that had three layered bunk beds all around and a stove in the middle, which obviously was not in use in the summer. In the morning, I put on my tefillin, and so did those others who wanted to, though most of the boys did not come from religious families. We did it quickly, so everyone had a chance, as there was not much time to say the proper blessings and prayers. Imagine putting on tefillin in Auschwitz. Before long, word spread throughout the camp that someone had smuggled in tefillin, and other prisoners started coming around asking to use it. Years later, an account of this in the Hebrew work Encyclopedia Shema Yisrael, this is how it was related. Rav Chaim Toder showed up with a sensational piece of news. A tefillin and a tzitter had been brought into the camp. His face aglow with happiness, he told us that with his own eyes, he saw these tefillin in the hands of a Lithuanian boy who had arrived in the camp the night before. It was hard to believe that such a thing was possible. We all knew how many inspections that an inmate went through before being allowed into the camp. Before showering, they would remove all of his clothes, and afterwards he would exit from a different door completely naked. And woe to him who had something in his hands. So he told us how he got them. Reb Chaim swore that he was speaking the truth, and we had no more doubt that indeed there was a pair of tefillin among us. Again, this is the account of someone else, the label found years later. You know, the first to become enthusiastic about the news was Rabbi Yosela, the Rebbe of Novominsk Rebbe, who rose and declared that tomorrow he must put on tefillin. Imagine, they haven't put on tefillin, who knows for how long. Novominsk Rebbe, Tzaddikim Yisrael Olam, they haven't put on tefillin. We tried to convince him not to endanger his life because it would be akin to committing suicide. Right? Man, you get caught, you're dead. So, it's not Yerek Vayava to put on tefillin. So he said, Rebbe, you can't do it. But the Rebbe proved to us that that concept of suicide does not apply in Auschwitz because it's like killing a dead person. And if the opportunity to do a mitzvah arises, one should do it no matter what. After we failed to convince or persuade him, we decided to forgo the drinking of the morning bitter waters, otherwise known as coffee, and to hide the Rebbe while he put on the tefillin. The next morning, when the bell rang, we gathered near Block S, where the Rebbe was already waiting for the boy, who was standing in the corner, adorned with the tefillin, praying. To my great surprise, it was Labela, the son of Rav Fievel of Kovna. Imagine, I knew this person. I was close to this person. I'm reading, it sounds like Mamish Sadi Kizor Olam. People waited, and through the little window of my barracks, I used to hand over the tefillin to others, among them the Novominsk Rebbe. Now he's back to speaking. Of course, back then I didn't know who he was. Only much, much later I came across the account that was quoted here. One day, as I was at the window with the tefillin, a guard saw me. He did not see the tefillin, thank God, but he figured I was up to something. What are you doing here? He demanded. I answered, I'm just getting some fresh air. He said, no. Who do you want to speak to? I said, air. He didn't believe me. He came inside and grabbed me. He shoved my head into the stove that was in the middle of the room, which was not lit at the time. And he stripped down my pants. With his belt, he started to whip me, demanding with each strike, what are you doing at the window? And I yelled back in German, Luft, air. When the Germans were punishing someone, they wanted everyone else to watch for the deterrent value. So all the boys were standing around, and some were crying, but I didn't cry. I was fighting back. In my gingy head, something said that if I cried, then he won. As long as I did not cry, I won. He was hitting me so hard and so long that blood was gushing, until apparently I fainted. Then he stopped hitting me. The boys got me out of the stove and put me on my bed. For a very long time, months, I could not sleep on my back. I had to sleep on my stomach. But I had won. I still had my tefillin, and I could still do this mitzvah. So it was worth it. I knew this person. I heard these words from him. I'm reading you from the book. But I heard the story from probably about 10, 12 times. For tefillin, why? Now we maybe understand, because tefillin represent Mesiras Nefesh. Tefillin represent the Mesiras Nefesh of giving one's life for Hashem in Tefil Shel Yad, but maybe even more importantly for generally one of us living with Mesiras Nefesh for Hashem. Living with Mesiras Nefesh for Hashem. And we saw that famously Reb Chaim Shalevitz explains that as well by Kriyas Yamsuf. And Sichas Musri has a whole piece, I think it's called Eved Hashem, if I'm not mistaken, where he talks about all Bnei Yisrael standing Kriyas Yamsuf, and no one willing to jump in until Nachshon jumps in and the sea splits. And he asks, why is no one willing to jump in for God? Thousands of Jews, millions of Jews throughout the ages willing to give up their life for God. Why is no one able to? And he explains, because it's much harder. They weren't going to die there. They were going to suffer and eventually live. They were going to pass through the water. It might be difficult, but they were going to live. It's easier to die Alt Kiddush Shem than to live Alt Kiddush Shem, Reb Chaim Shalevitz explains. Same Yisod. And we learned that by also by Chris Yamsov, by Nachshon Ben Imanadov, who was the only one that was willing to live out Kiddush Hashem. That's what that represented, as Chaim Shalevitz explains. Which incredible is that happened by Chris Yamsov, because I want to add that there's a medrash that we all think Chris Yamsov happened because Nachshon Ben Imanadov, and that was a part of it. But there's a medrash that it happened that when did the water split? When it saw the Aron Shel Yosef. Hayam Rav Ayanus. Hayam Rav Ayanus. This is the Hayam Ra, the water saw Yosef, the Aron Shel Yosef, the Medrash says, Vayanus. And that's when it split. And the word is Vayanus. Why Vayanus? Vayikra. Because it's alluding to Yosef, who was Vayanus, ran away from Eishes Potiphar, Vayanus Achutza. It was in the schus of his Mesiris Nefesh to live. That was Mesiris Nefesh. Mesiris Nefesh to not give in to that seductive woman at the time. That's Mesiris Nefesh. That created Kriyas Yamsev. Maybe that gave the koach to a Nachshon Ben Imanadov to live with Mesiris Nefesh. And that's to each and every one of us. The Mesiris Nefesh that we need in our lives is not just to die Altz Kiddushem, but to live Altz Kiddushem. When we live in a dar where averas and taivas are so easy and so accessible, and we're strong and we put the proper gedarim and we don't give in, that's Mesiris Nefesh in our lifetime. And we can do it, and we need to do it. And we have those kochos. You know where we have those kochos from? The Munat Avram explains, from Akedas Yitzchak. Akedas Yitzchak encompassed both of these levels of Mesiris Nefesh. Akedas Yitzchak was Avram being told to kill Yitzchak, but ultimately he didn't kill Yitzchak. Ultimately he lived. And that imbued in was a symbolism of Mesiris Nefesh, not just in death, but in life. And that was imbued in within each and every one of us. That created a chemical, biological makeup where each and every one of us has within us to be Moser Nefesh for Hashem. It became part of us from Akedas Yitzchak. Because Avram and Yitzchak were willing to not just die Altz Kiddush Hashem, but to live Altz Kiddush Hashem and be Moser Nefesh for Hashem. And each and every one of us can as well. We go through difficulties. But we can. And that's as well, just one more Gemara, just to understand, so beautiful. The Pasuk says, V'ha Elokim Nisa Asavram. V'ha Elokim Nisa Asavram, right? Why is it V'ha Elokim? Why not V'ha Elokim? Why would the hey? V'ha Elokim Nisa Asavram. And God tested what? The God tested Avram. So in Parshas Bo, the Pasuk says, Vishomarta es hachuka hazos lemoada miyamim yamima. You should watch this chok. You should keep this law. Keep this law in the proper time, in the proper day. The Gemara Menachos says it's talking about tefillin. Yamim v'lo lelos, during the daytime and at nighttime. It's Gemara Menachos la mevavim beis. Mi yamim lo kol yamim prat l'shabbos v'yantiv. We don't wear Shabbos. We don't wear tefillin on Shabbos when we're yantiv. We don't wear at night. It's all learned from this pasuk, and that makes sense. That's the opinion of Yosef Glili. That's what it's talking about. And that makes sense because the pasuk before is talking about tefillin. V'ayilchal oisa yadchal zekaron beinecha, and therefore v'shemar tachav gazos l'modem yamimah. V'ha'elokim with the hay is Rashi Tevos. Vishamarta es achuka azos lemoadam yamim yimima. The Elokim, therefore, alludes to tefillin. This pasuk don't mean tefillin. Why? Because the whole nisayon of Akedas Yitzchak, Kim nisas Avram, was to imbue the same lesson as tefillin. The Mesiris Nefesh of giving up one's life for Hashem, but more importantly, Mesiris Nefesh of the Rosh, being willing to live for Hashem. And realizing and believing we have it in us from Avram Avinu. If Avram Yitzchak passed this test, it became part of us. And each and every one of us has to believe. When Hashem gives us a challenge, He loves us, as we explained. He loves you and He knows you could get through it and He knows you could grow from it. And to live with that Mesiris Nefesh. You know, I was thinking about this as I was preparing this Torah. You know, it's never a bad time to think about Purim. MS, that's what I was thinking about Purim. You know, it's these days, I teach Hilchos Yontiv, I teach Hilchos Yontiv to 11th graders in the DRS. So Hilchos Yontiv, the beginning of the year, is beautiful. You have so much, you're teaching Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, and then Yom Kippur, and then some Sukkos. And then you come back after Sukkos, and we don't have Yontiv for 2 months. It's Mar Cheshvan and then Kislev. Even Chanukah is the end of Kislev. You have 2 full months with no Yontiv. So in a Chanami, obviously any time of the year you can learn Hilchos Pesach and you learn Hilchos Shavuos, but obviously, especially for a high school kid, it's way more geshmak when you're learning the halachos right before the halacha. It's more practical, it's more meaningful. So I said, okay, what's the next Yontiv we have is Chanukah, so I'll wait to learn Hilchos Chanukah, like starting 3 weeks before Chanukah. I give enough time, 4 weeks, whatever it is that I need for Hilchos Chanukah. So then that takes away the second month, but then I have a whole month. What are we going to learn? So I say, it's never a bad time to learn Hilchos Purim. So we're learning Hilchos Purim. We're learning Hilchos Purim. I say Purim's against your Purim. Against your Purim! Right? We've said over the Torah so many times, Purim's Gematria 336, the 354 days in the year, 18 of days of Yontiv Deraisa. The rest of the year is Purim. It's Purim, there's 336 days that are not Yontiv. It's Purim, Gematria, Purim. It's never a bad time. But when I was talking about and thinking about just to Monsieur Snefesh of life, and Monsieur Snefesh of giving your life. Couldn't stop thinking about Esther Amalka. Was there a yid in all of history that was more Moshe Nefesh for Hashem? You know, we have challenges in life. And some of us, they're real. But imagine Esther Amalka. Here's this beautiful, sweet tzaddikus of a young girl. And she's taken. She's taken and taken by the king. And I was forced. We can't even imagine what it was like, what she had to be doing and living in the under the king with... You know what that was? You know what that would be for a Medela? No, we can't even imagine. Was there a bigger Nisayon in history than that in a sense? How sad, how terrible. I'm sure there, you know, you'd assume, not Esther, but other people would be like, would have taken their life already. It's not worth it. You can understand, it's easier to die for Kiddush Hashem than to live like that. You can understand that. But she was Moshe Nefesh, B'chaim. And she saved Klal Yisrael. Kasher avadati, avadati. She was willing to give it all up for Klal Yisrael. And she was willing to give up her life, but she was willing to also live for it. And be Moshe Nefesh. How? Where did she get this kochos? She knew Hashem loved her. And she knew Hashem put her in that predicament to change the world and to grow from it. And she says, I have the koyach of Avram and Yitzchak in me. I have that ability in me. So I can do it. She might have had the most difficult life of anyone in her door. But let me ask you, Chavers, from that generation, you know any other woman's name? Do you know any other woman's name from that door? Do we know of anybody else? Only Esther Amalka. Only Esther Amalka. She changed the world. We're only here because of her. We're only here because of her. Because she was willing to be Moser Nefesh B'chaim. Because she knew Hashem loves her. And she knew I'm in this predicament to grow. And if we could look at every situation we have in life, and don't get me wrong, we have difficult situations, but know that Hashem loves me, and know that I could grow from this. And my avoda is not to ask why, because I may have never. You think Esther knew why me? It's not why, it's what I could do in the situation. And I'm going to make the most of it, I'm going to grow from it. I'm going to show the Eibishter that just like you love me, I love you too. And I'll do whatever you ask of me. And that's chus will be zoicha one day. And b'kar of mamish. To no more nisyonos. Because we don't want nisyonos. This is all once we have nisyonos. We say that we daven lo dichev lo di nisyon, right? We don't want a nisyon. But once we have it, this is how we have to react. This is how we deal with a nisyon. But shuzoicha the time of the no more nisyonos. With gula shleimos yishech zakenu. B'meher b'meinu b'kar of mamish.
Amen. Amen.